In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this Palm Sunday, we gather and we remember the celebration of Christ's triumphal entry. As Christ rides into Jerusalem to conquer over our enemies of sin, death, and the devil, to atone for the sins of mankind upon the cross just outside of the city gates. The great throng that gathers doesn't quite get it. They did not know for what point and purpose Christ comes to Jerusalem, at least not all of them. They see him riding a donkey, coming as a king in victory, like King Solomon did before him. They saw him as a king to bring peace. Peace from the Romans, from the oppression which they faced. And they rejoice and strew palm branches and their cloaks in his way, rejoicing because their king, their earthly king, is here. And now they would be set free from the Romans. He would free them from earthly difficulties and usher in a new golden age of Israel to rule on earth. They did not know for what purpose he comes, but they should have. They did not know that Christ their Lord comes not to rule an earthly kingdom, but as he says to Pilate, his kingdom is of heaven. They did not know that he comes not as a king to conquer over the Romans and to kick them out, to lay down his life and conquer over sin, death, and the devil for Israel and for the Romans. They did not know that he comes to die. And as they laud and magnify and glorify his name, it all looks well and good. They sing praises hailing him. They get it wrong. They did not know, but they should have. Because the signs and scriptures are clear. They came seeking a king who is not the Christ. A king to fulfill their desires, who would fill their bellies and overthrow the government. They sought an earthly king, not a heavenly one, not the king spoken of in the Old Testament. For the Lord has indeed spoken. He has sent his prophets to proclaim exactly what sort of king the Messiah, the Christ, would be. Isaiah speaks of the suffering servant and foretells with shockingly good detail, the crucifixion of our Lord, the death of our King. The Old Testament from Genesis is set forth to prepare us for the Christ, to see the Christ clearly as he desires to be seen, as a suffering servant who would die in our stead, the true king who reigns not from a magnificent golden throne, but from wood fashioned into a cross. And our temptation is always to try and be kind to the crowd, to not speak too harshly of them, because we say, well, how could they possibly have known? And in so doing, we say the scriptures were not clear enough. Plus, if we condemn them, if we condemn their thinking about how Christ should be, then what do we say about our own selves? Because we should know better as well. You should know better. For you do not merely have the Old Testament. You do not merely have the prophets and the prophecies. But you indeed have the cross. The greater sign has come. Christ has been crucified and risen for you. The Lord not only has spoken, but has written down his word. He has revealed his will for mankind to you in the scriptures. And not only this, he has sent to you not just the prophets, but the church fathers, who lived as Christ lived, suffered and died as their king, and the Lord has continually sent to you pastors to open and explain the scriptures to you. He has sent to you men to preach and proclaim the fullness of God's counsel, to reveal God to you as he desires to be known. That you might not seek a Christ who looks not like our Lord. That you might not seek a Christ who is earthly, whose glory is limited to this world. No, he has given you all these things in his great and abundant fatherly mercy so that you might seek a Christ who is true, a Christ who is God himself and does the Father's will. He has given you all these things that you might wave palm branches here this very morning and rejoice, for your Lord does indeed come to you. Not on the back of a donkey, but upon the altar, in bread and wine, from this very pulpit, in the preached word, and in the proclamation of the scriptures. You, like the crowds, should know better. Should know better than to make God into an earthly king who fits your idea of, and thoughts of what your Lord should look like. You should not try to force God into a box that he does not desire to be in, but rather seek him where he has promised to be found. See him where he desires to be seen, in the scriptures. For there he has revealed who he is and what he has done for you. There, in the Word of God, we see the point of his triumphal entry and of our life as Christians. But not all those who gathered missed it. In the Holy Gospel, according to St. John, we see that some of those who came up for the feast to worship were some Greeks. And they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Some Greeks, Hellenists, not the children of Abraham to whom the promises were given, but those who had come in contact with God's word and desired to see Christ as he was. And Jesus gives them a strange answer. When Philip goes to Andrew and Andrew and Philip go to Christ and tell them about these men seeking him, it doesn't seem at first as if Christ gives them any answer at all. But it is in precisely his non-answer that we see the truth. Christ says, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Here Christ is not ignoring the request of the Greeks. He is not ignoring Philip and Andrew. They desire to see him, and he is instructing them precisely on where he is to be seen, where they can truly see and know him. For his hour is indeed at hand. The hour of his glorification has come, the hour in which he will draw all people unto himself. And it is not in the great thunderous crowd shouting Hosanna. It is not in the loud shouts of praise and the honor of men. It is in his death. It is in his dying that he bears much fruit. It is in his ascension to the cross that he lords over all men and covers all men with his body and his blood. And it is by this that the Father's name is indeed glorified. It is in this, the cross, that the glory of God is revealed and seen. It is for this reason that Christ comes to Jerusalem. to suffer and to be crucified, to bear the wrath of God for his servants, to take the place of sinful men, to die as a king for his people. And so if you, like the Greeks, desire to see Jesus, do not seek him anywhere else. Do not seek God apart from Christ and who he has proclaimed himself to be. Hear his response to Philip and see him where he is revealed most clearly. Look and turn your eyes as we go through this Holy Week towards the Passion. Turn your eyes towards the cross every single day of your life. Like Paul, know nothing other than Christ crucified. Do not seek God or desire to have a God who is not like Christ, who is not the suffering servant. Do not desire a Christ according to the flesh, but instead subject the flesh to the will of God and to his command. Subject your reason and your desire to God's will, and see the glory of the cross. For we are tempted indeed to be like the crowds, seeking glory according to man, rejoicing in the wonderful triumphs of our Lord as we see them. But I tell you this morning that we are to rejoice with the Greeks, who came to see Jesus and were pointed to the cross, who were pointed to his crucifixion. Seek a Christ according to God's word, a king, not as a glorious king, arrayed in great and marvelous clothing, not as a king who rules with a scepter in his hand and the finest of clothing upon his feet. See your king as he rules with pierced hands and pierced feet, with his blood pouring out to cover your sins. Seek not a king who rules with the shiniest and most glorious of crowns, with all the resplendent jewels of earth. But see a king who gladly dons a crown forged from a thicket of thorns. Do not be offended by Christ's passion. Christ's passion is everything. It is the atonement of man. It is the justification of sinner. It is the appeasement of God's wrath towards us. And it is the penalty of our sin and the price our Christ, our Lord, in his glory, willingly pays. You desire to see Jesus, to receive from him life and salvation, eternal life. So look no further than the cross and the means by which the cross and its benefits are given to you. Look no further than the crucifix here on our altar, which stands as a reminder to you of the glory of God, not his shame. Look not to Christ sitting upon a splendid throne, or an empty cross, or an empty tomb. But look to Christ hanging upon a tree, cursed for you. And what you will receive from the hand of your Lord is his very blood outpoured. It is his very body, broken for you, that you might be saved, that he might conquer over your enemies, he might free you not from earthly principalities, but from spiritual sin, death, and the devil. The scriptures are clear. You are gathered here today, waving palm branches like the crowd, but not seeking the same thing. For you are not the crowd seeking an earthly God, an earthly Christ. You do know, for you have indeed been taught, and our confirmands this afternoon will take their vows, having received the instruction of who Christ is and what he has done, brought and drawn forth from the Scriptures. They, like you, know who Christ is and what Christ has come to do. By his death and his passion, he has called you, he has redeemed you, and he has defeated all of your enemies. He's conquered over them not with the sword, but with his body and his blood. If you seek Jesus, seek the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.